The Modern Black Man Podcast.
I guess I'm going to start this off with just me. So welcome to another episode of the Modern Black Man Podcast. We're changing things up. It's an evolving concept for me as well. But if you follow the show on YouTube, you will see that these conversations quickly grow legs. We breathe life into them, and they actually become real scenarios. So this is, in fact, a reality podcast. With all of that being said, let's get into today's episode. People, person, personal, personality. I think I have a people, person, personal personality, but personally, that's me. I think that a lot of people, whether it's the pandemic, a departure from spirituality, civility, social responsibility that we had for decades, we don't have the ability to communicate with one another the way that I think most of us feel. We used to communicate with one another. And I really want to talk about this. I think everybody has a angle, a preference. I think a lot of us have a idea and a construct of who it is that we are and the expectations that we have of this said person in the world. I think that it's really interesting because we all bump heads. No matter what personality type, person that you are personally, there's things that you do to another person that you probably take personally. I mean, I say that as a person, but I don't want it to be personal. But people and their personalities, they kind of mesh, blend, intertwine, conflict. I think that we graze one another in society at large, and for some of us, we cross paths with another human, maybe even a machine or inanimate object, or another soul and a best friend. And that person, if they're not a mirror, maybe they're a compass. And I think that that is the personal people perspective, personally, about people as a person my personality has unveiled. I think that there's so many different personalities out there that we think that life for anyone is going to be like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I think that that guy is someone who truly leveled up. I think that he has talent, and his talents are in so many different areas. We all kind of have to look at this guy and be like, wow, you know, he is. And I think that there's this Murdoch lawyer that offed his whole family. I think we all look at that person, and there's, if I don't say mixed reviews, I'd say that we are looking at this possibly different. And I think that that's the awesome part of this whole experience, right? I don't have to tell you personally what it is I feel about that person, but people know that people have personalities, and that's how we view other people personally. But personally, I know that I want to do my best at treating other people fairly as best I can, but I know I can't please everyone. And I think it's a very real circumstance and experience in my life. So I truly and genuinely condone some empathy, and I express to anyone that feels that their connection to people personally could get better or even needs to change in any way, they do it. There's so many resources. The internet is amazing at times connecting people. and often collecting people. And I think that's what we don't discuss enough. When we have awesome apps like Stereo that can bring us together and really help us look at big subjects as a group, a society, a people, and that connection combining with our collection, it really unveils a lot. And I know in my experiences, I've traveled extensively, and I'm so blessed to be on this planet. I'm so blessed to be alive at this time. I'm so grateful for my connections and all the people that I've met, truly, like everywhere. I love people, and nobody's perfect, including me. So I'm really grateful for anybody that sticks around and really has a connection with me. I'm seeing the evolution of the show and these experiences, how powerful that is, how changing that is. And anything I can do to develop someone else, to improve their lives, and make their time easier is what I'm going to do. And, you know, if you're still listening on this episode, this really is going to be a powerful one. We started the conversation here, hoping to invite some people with different perspectives or varying views to maybe share their perspective so we as a collective can grow. And as you know, we always want to be connected. Please join the conversation on YouTube. And I'm going to try to connect Lex Giles to the conversation. But that's taking too long, huh? I'm not going to deal with it anymore. I'm going to continue and I'm going to try drawing. I said that this whole experience is about connectivity, being connected. We're going to do it in season 2, June 1st on YouTube. We're going to have a new studio. Probably going to have a lot more consistency. If I'm joined with my co-host Siren, I think that's going to be more than amazing. I love her so much. She's so patient dealing with me. I'm very, very grateful for that. With that being said, she's a beautiful and busy young lady. So I know she might get busy with some things of her own. If you are in the social media space, you know you got to follow Siren. You can see her handles, usernames, information, all that good stuff. Incredibly beautiful soul, inside and out. My favorite character in the story is me. So if we can refocus, we'll regroup, we will, you know, continue our growth lessons in following myself. Like I said, I am a people person, and personally, I know my personality is what can be under attack. And life has revealed so many lessons to me because of that personality. Kanye is absolutely a person that we all feel personally about because of his personality. And when you are able to unpack that persona, when you're able to really view the man, connect with that person on a different level, I think that there are so many lessons that can be revealed. Not just the fact that we can basically empathize with a father of multiple children under the scrutiny of losing multiple billions of dollars and looking belligerent, we can go beyond that. Dr. Nuki, is your name right?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you for joining me.
appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Mr. Idris. Is how you say that, like Idris Elba?
Yeah, man. They call me Chubby Idris Elba. You can call me Chubb, whatever works for you.
Okay. Yeah. It's Nui. So
we.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's Nui. Got Nui. Appreciate you. I know sometimes people mess up my name, so.
Man, I blame my eyes, bro, because I was like, yeah, I go, I know that this Dr. Herbalist, brother with some wisdom, is definitely going to come with something hard-hitting. Before we get to that, a little bit about that, if you're comfortable talking about it, how did you get into herbal medicine, or what exactly is your specialty? Please introduce yourself to the audience of the Modern Black Man podcast. I am the host, and this is an experiment we're doing on social media, kind of bridging the gap.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me on to your podcast as well. The title definitely caught my eye, so thought it may have some useful information since I am a Black man in this modern era. I go by Nui. Of course, I am originally from Burkina Faso, which many people may not know where that's located at, but it's actually a West African country.
It's very tiny, by Togo.
Yes, right by, how can you say,
Cote d'Ivoire. I don't know, man.
Yes.
I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm guessing.
Thank you. You're the first person to know that. Trying to think about how can I actually explain it, because you know people.
It's French. With it.
Yes, colonized by the French. Mm-hmm. Yep. So Timbuktu, it's right underneath that, and yes, it is a real place for the people. It's not just the movie. It's actually a real. It's a real country. It's a real place. Yes, I was born from a mother that was coarse. I was, you know, West African. My father was Egyptian, from Rashid, Egypt. And so came from two dynamics of strong culture, one from Islam and, of course, one from, you know, enriched spirituality. And, of course, everything was natural in the area. And so coming up, you know, my mom was really big on just natural food. You know, she loved cooking. You know, she had to walk maybe six or seven miles just to the farmland to where we had all our fruits and vegetables and herbs and growing. And so just going on that journey growing up, it was normal to me just walking with her and, you know, learning all these different things about the soil, the land, bugs, animals, things of that nature. And that just really just kind of started everything with just herbs in general. To the point that I actually wanted to, you know, become older and wanted to do it for a living. Just one of those things. Just because every health problem we had in our village, it was just so simple to just solve it with just something that just grew out of the ground. And it amazed me because, hold on for a minute.
I'm going to let the brother handle this business, but you guys already here. This is quite a rich story, and I don't want to beat him to the punch, but I know that every disease has a cure because every cure comes from nature, just like every disease comes from the ground as well. I cannot wait to be edified further. You know, this is quite an elaborate episode. We have multiple points to touch on, and I really am excited to unpack those. You know that it starts here with the conversations that we have, just like this man is sharing with us a beautiful story about how he was able to grow into a world where he was receiving the nutrition that so many of us have as a goal. An aspiration. Myself, anyone that follows this reality-based vlog, dealt with some health adversities. I'm actually 20 months into a recession of health. I'm fighting back with the best of my ability currently. I think this is Dr. Nui.
Okay. My apologies for that. I had to help my
Oh.
assistant with something.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
I appreciate you because I know you're about to drop some knowledge on this. Let's segue back
Yeah, I was just segueing into a little bit of my back history where I come from and just kind of how I got into just holistic herbalism just as a main thing. But yeah, just was just so amazed with just how something that I watched my mother grow and just work so hard to, be able to nurture and just, instill so much discipline in. And when someone got sick, she was able to, get a certain herb, ground it up into a powder or to a capsule, mix it with this and that, and then give it to them. And then they, if they stay disciplined and take it on a consistent basis, they get better. And so that was our medicine. That was our healing. And so like medications and pharmaceuticals and all that was foreign to us. So, that's kind of how I stayed on the path. Even when I, went to med school and things of that nature, when I became a physician, I didn't want to become a medical doctor. I wanted to be a natural doctor, one that kind of explored many of the different practices of just holistic herbalists. And so that's just kind of like a little bit on that. So.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. That explains how you were so connected to health, how the osteopathic trek, the what Eastern trek, Ayurvedic trek, whatever you want to call it, and rejection of allopathic medicine is so rare. I will definitely big that point up. But thank you for giving us a window of introduction. So the episode, we're just talking about how people, very simple, people have a problem with people. Period, point blank, right? We reject personalities and we take it personal. We think, right? Big making this big point small. We see the flaws in people and we can't stand it. We know we have flaws in ourselves. And this probably leaks into everything that we do. So I'd love to go all over the place with this and maybe get some perspective from nutrition and how we can better guide our thoughts as we mental health mindfulness practices and all that good stuff. So yeah, I mean, tell us Jamba Juice is what we need to drink over Smoothie King, and I'm gonna think happy thoughts if I listen to Will Smith because he raps happy. Is this true?
You said a lot of things, so I'm gonna attack it one by one. The first thing when you talked about I guess you was talking about regarding social, right? Being able to communicate and talk to people, be a people person, understand people, because communication is one of the most powerful things that you can utilize, and it actually can help you become successful in many ways. If you can understand people, if you know how to talk to people, right? And I think when you're talking about the modern day, social communication is definitely poor, amongst just people in general. It's definitely poor from what I've observed in many different Western countries that I've visited. Just being able to just talk to people, it just seems that for one, people are not taught how to communicate. Early on, a child. That's definitely definite.
But we got to talk about that point. When you go to Western countries, everybody's a dick. It used to be Europeans treating immigrants this way, what, 30, 40 years ago. But now, everybody on the subway is an asshole. And it starts with me, because I have a device in my hand, most likely. But I think that's so unfair, sloppy, and convenient to slap it all on social media or devices. I think it's a little bit less sloppy, but just as fat to blame fast food. We've been bad for a while. Like, what is going on? I mean, we do eat too much McDonald's and we watch too much, we can call it television, right? Media,
Yeah.
I think all of that, but come on, let's be better. Let's be better. It and God, spirituality is minimized and has no efficacy in the modern era because we've taken away the might of God.
We have, and I mean, it's not even just God. It's just you can't even believe in anything. In just Western countries, it's basically it's a what you call it a free for all. What they say, it's just a free for all. Just everybody just does whatever, right? And there's no such thing as law, structure, or what's right and what's wrong. It's basically it's all about emotions, and I'm a victim. And
You said
it's sad.
emotions. How can you have emotions when your caduceus
Yes,
is calcified?
that is.
I
I'll
mean,
say
like,
unbalanced. I'll say
yeah.
unbalanced. Definitely say unbalanced emotions, right?
It's death,
It's
murder, everything that we should leave to God to make sure he's not in it. Or
yeah,
did I say that
pretty much.
backwards? Is that said that backwards? Like we take God out of everything, right? Because it's a free for all. So we can rape, pillage, murder, kill,
And we can do
in
whatever
the
we
name
want.
of the justice system or McDonald's themselves. I've left everybody but Creed out, but I think you get what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it may, it may come across that, you're speaking a different language. Typically because
No.
you see something, you see something that most people don't want to see. Because everyone is not living in the real world, or the real domain, how I would like to say, the real domain of what's actually happening. Everyone is living in this arbitrary imagination of what they think or what they perceive reality to be. And so other people or most people are perceiving reality to be, I'm the victim, the problems with everyone else, I'm not the problem. I'm not catering to the problem, and I'm the solution, and everything is going to be okay. Versus people like me and you are actually recognizing what is the problem and seeking to not only talk about it but actually be the solution to fix it. And when you try to do that, you see it, the amount of pushback that you will get, typically from the people that are not connected to the real domain of what's happening. Which is why it's so easy to carry out all these different ludicrous practices that's happening, especially in the West, when you're talking about lowering the age of consensual sex with children from 16. I believe the lowest used to be 16 in the United States, but now they're trying to push that to maybe 13 to 12. And of course, that's tied into hypersexual history that America has had. And so it's easy to do things like that, and no one talks about it. And so it's going into a terrible place with people, because when you leave America, it's or when you leave the West, I would say, it's not like that, and
Yeah,
you
okay.
see the
How
world
did we
differently.
get so perverse? And everybody that was burning our flag, telling us that we were ruining their day with our freedom that we sent our grandfathers out to fight for, to a country that never gave true inclusive equality or equity. How
To
did
a certain
we?
group of people, to a certain group of
But
people,
this
I
is a
would
conundrum on a
say.
conundrum inside a cylindric conundrum. We we've evolved from one to another because, again, we are a generation. I have to say it. I've never felt this way. These damn kids have freedom. The same freedom that they said we had 40 years ago is what these kids are sniffing now. And I have to admit it. That's where I think a lot of this perversion comes from. Why kid? Oh my God, this sounds crazy. Let me rephrase that because people actually watch this now.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with what you say. You don't want to, it's more that you can't be honest, but that's kind of the,
That's the
even with
problem.
my, yeah, even in my career, when I'm, talking to kids, that has, undergo sex changes or just different things. I have to be very careful on how I approach it, just because it's a sensitive thing, especially if I'm having patients in America.
I need you to go there with me right now. The place I want to go to is a Klan rally. And the person I want to talk about is Kanye, because that's what these kids have. Kanye's from my generation, and he proves that even black kids should be bigging. What he said, because I edited all of those thoughts. But that's truly it. We're in the age, and that's what it looks like. That is exactly it. So I am shocked, appalled, offended, and exposing myself as a hypocrite doesn't help anyone else. So, yeah, I Dwayne Wade has a son who just officially changed genders, as you were talking about, right? I have to respect these things because they are incredibly and simply outlandish to me, because I know the, I'll call it abuse, my father instilled when he was around. You were not allowed to X, Y, and Z. So I, what do we call this? Is why I need a, I need counsel. What would you call that?
I represent, not only my country, but how I was brought up as well. And I will always say that no matter what the West has adopted as normal, it is not normal. It is abuse. You are causing trauma when you are cutting a child open and exposing them to sexualization of any kind, which is why something as little as a child seeing porno for the first time can traumatize them and influence their whole behavior.
Changes your brain, neuroplasticity,
Absolutely.
instills. There's loops that are made.
Nutrients, messaging from your nervous system, it rewires all of that just from you just seeing that. So
Absolutely. Hands
it
down.
is it's it, it, it is a it's a it's one of the biggest catastrophes that you could ever do to a child. And I'm a firm believer of all belief systems, that everyone that is partaking in attacking children in all these many ailments is definitely going to suffer 10 times as much, just because it is not the right thing to do,
Well, I
exposing
mean,
people to this.
absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, if you've again, if you've ever listened to any past episodes of Modern Black Man Podcast in our second or any season, probably, we address it head on. Mental health professionals, we've had sex workers and sex therapists, all that good stuff. And when you talk about the things that go on to everyone's brain. Unfortunately, because you forget that some of these kids that are abusing themselves are 12, 13, adolescents. We had it, but we didn't have the steroids of the internet like it is today with 4K, and whatever else kids are into. Like, I'll leave it at that. But do you understand what I'm saying? Because
Oh
every
yeah,
generation,
absolutely.
there's nothing new under the sun, because I'm
It's
sure
not.
it was a hieroglyph that equated mentally to the brain to the same thing as an image that a young person scrolls, right? So I know that the scroll game is more effective, and the bodies that young people have are more significant than ever. Their views of sexuality are very different with that, like what you were saying. So, do you think that there should or could be any expectation of purity in this experiment reality?
You ask, should it be an expectation of purity?
Can there be, because we just said it, there's nothing new under the sun, right? And we could call it protected. Every parent probably, we can call it an expectation again. Every parent is supposed to, right? In the modern era, what does that look like? And can you really even do anything? Because I'll tell you what, airdrop is what these little pervs do. because they are their own little people, right? And we're trying to guide them with morality. And I think that it's quite complex. We want to
Well,
see God's hands, we want to avert their eyes, all these things. And I think we have a social responsibility, but I throw all of it.
it's a matter because the whole world is not like that. Now, there are certain forces that do that is trying to make the whole world like the West, which is why you'll see a large increase of people, Americans specifically, moving out of the West and moving away from the West to other countries that have more traditional values and beliefs. I would say it's really no point. You can't really expect purity. I mean, that's a lost cause, especially knowing the history of America specifically. You trying to keep those values of purity and teach and re-educate a group of people or just or even a nation of people that just don't know. Because I mean, you talked about the previous generation, generations now. If you think about the generations of these children of people, Americans are growing up now, they're growing up exposed to what? Hypersexualization, pornography, high advanced technology. Kids at 6, 5 years old have an iPhone looking at it. You have couples, television, YouTube channels exposing their babies as soon as they get pregnant, as soon as they come out of the womb. That is dangerous. You're putting cameras, blue light emitting, damaging their eyes. You're doing all of this just to make money. And so nobody's thinking about privacy, the value of my family, the value and teachings I need to instill on my children. No, it's
Is
all
there
about
an expectation of
performance.
privacy in the
Right.
modern era? Do
No,
we have
no, no,
privacy?
no,
No.
no, no. And I find it hypocritical that people talk about the government spying and breaking all of these privacy rules because you willingly expose yourself when you wake up. And what is the first thing Facebook asks you? What is on your mind? All social media is tied into one of the most invested majors and subjects and careers in the world, which is neuro, the brain. It's one of the most biggest investments wealthy people invest into. Because if I can know more about the brain, which is tied into social media, all social media does is gather information about humans'
Hacks your
behavior.
brain.
That's all. What are you thinking about today? What are you going to do this weekend? And you willingly expose the privacy and tell
Have so much
AI.
trauma. I have to
Yes.
admit, I have so much trauma, man. So images, right? Because you can therapize. This is so funny. I therapize myself. Sometimes it helps me to go numb to it. It really, really helps. But you can tell the real from the fake because people will try to avert their eyes when it's like, you're into this. You just like can't admit it. So now you're mad that somebody else is doing it. And it's all about regulating that individual's behavior. So it's crazy to me. But yeah, I think we grew up in a separate era. I forget the Surgeon General. But it was a black lady who in the 88 Clinton administration, you know exactly what I'm talking about. She shaped and molded us as young people and created our sexuality. And I think that that has done a vast difference because of what the adversities neurologically that we had to face because they weren't the same adversities from the generation before. And again, we can crack. Meth and Adderall and all that stuff, it's a little bit more sophisticated and like the straight hijack is there. But as a doctor, the biological effects were quite different. And all the touting and talking about crack babies was a response to fear because we found out that wasn't true. So no matter what your drug of choice is, minus alcohol, people, alcohol safety, I mean,
Well,
right?
yeah, you know the funny thing about drugs and alcohol, a lot of under study is done on social media, but actual social media actually gets you 10 times, well, actually 15, 15.5 times much more higher than actual smoking meat, and it actually gets you more intoxicated than alcohol. Social media.
I'm very upset because I need that bar. I at
Yeah,
all
it's
costs.
and of course it's me examining why there's such a low fund, a low understudy dealing with social media and trying to bring it in front of the council administration of internet acts and laws. When I bring it up and when I'm trying to get other doctors to talk about how it's affecting people, it's like, oh well, it's social media, it's not doing anything. But science is telling otherwise. The internet is actually, social media is actually much more harmful than you drinking and smoking. And we're seeing that now because it's affecting human beings' lives on every level, on a talking level, meaning that we've found out that social media actually dumbs you down. It actually makes people disattach people from even knowing how to write, to think. Algorithms is harmful. We're seeing a lot of that from TikTok. Children are having mental issues from constantly seeing these short clips of videos constantly, to the point that it's not only triggering strokes in children. Bad ninja. So it's, and I know it's a generation of social media, it can't be stopped, but the dangers that people are walking with this social media of just being so addicted to it, to the point that it's harming you on a level that you're not even paying attention to it because you're so conditioned to be on it all the time. It's your new way of socializing, and that's unhealthy because you're supposed to be brought up to get up, walk outside, go to the grocery store, walk, talk to the lady that you always see every day. You're supposed to go out and talk to people face to face, give hugs, shake hands. And it's gotten worse, of course, with COVID-19, because it really got 10 times worse, especially with mental health. It just made people
Well,
gravitate to being online more and more.
why is it Coward in the DSV-5? Is it a diagnosis? I'm so serious. Is it a diagnosis? Because I think that's, we call it anxiety in parts. But people are cowards. And I'm not gonna, this, my show is like HBO, and I can't wait to get this on YouTube. Stereo might be a little different, so I won't call them out on their names here. But yeah, and I think that's the problem.
I mean, when you're talking about diagnosis, and it's not to put anyone down that's suffering from a diagnosis or mental health issue, any proclaimed issues that you might think that you have, but a lot of diagnoses that I've previewed and went over from patients that have went to other physicians and they come to me, it's usually not them having any type of problem. It's usually you telling yourself that something's wrong with you. And sometimes doctors make people's condition even much more worse is by telling them that there something is wrong with them or you have this. And so when you tell yourself that you're something's wrong with you, then you're like, oh, something's wrong with me, but nothing is wrong with you. You're
You're
just
looking for something to
reenacting. You're trying to look for something
this
to kind of
diagnosis.
excuse your behavior to diagnose because it's so easy to
Is
say,
that
I'm diagnosed with
destination?
this. I have a problem. Well, it could be many forms of hallucinations. It could be something wrong with your neurotransmissions, which is responsible for your reticle on perceiving. There's a certain part of your cortex, your frontal cortex, that is responsible for perceiving correctly, meaning that it helps you perceive things correctly when you see things and when you are going through something and you know what it is. And a lot of people just have an unbalanced frontal cortex with that because you're not perceiving correctly. Everyone will say that mental health, I have anxiety, I'm depressed, and all this is, no, you're not depressed over this. What are
Well, I
you
think
depressed over?
destination addiction has gotten so many people because we glorify the journey, especially through media, and I think it's people, they miss, they do. They don't get their shine, their due, the attention that they want, they feel they deserve. And then combine that with repeated success. Like, it's like, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm the Tom Brady for fifth division, sales group six, 9 years in a row. So no one has done more. I'm being funny, but like, it's that. It's the way people, I don't know, man. Is it like a delusional humility?
Back in, I would say 2016, me and a couple of physicians, we did a controlled experiment on relatively healthy people. Of course, people that, were normal, right? Happy, going, et cetera. And we gave them access to social media. And we gave them just single people, just seeing a whole bunch of feeds of married people, family, laughing, happy, all these different, images. And we recollated and asked, how did this make you feel? They watched it for about 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours. And they said, well, kind of did make me feel a little sad. Like, why make you feel sad? Well, because, I'm single and I don't have those things. I say, well, seeing something on the internet and seeing that you don't have those things, it makes you sad. Because sometimes being on social media can give you a reality check on how miserable your life is, on how lazy you are, or why you're not, getting the things you want out of life because you're too focused on looking at what other people are doing instead of being focused on your own life. And of course, we've seen high increases in people becoming, sad, being more sad, being exposed to social media. How many marriage couples that I've had counsel because it was an argument over something on Facebook, or because somebody messaged you something inappropriately, or ex reached out to you, and it ended in, and I have to do counsel for a marriage couple and try to prevent them from divorcing each other over something so stupid. I've seen so many problems just build up off of social media, and people never think to let me get off of social media. We've noticed that the increase in anger with people, whenever you relatively tell them to disconnect from social media, it's kind of similar to, I wouldn't want to say the Matrix, but kind of being a human plugged into a computer. And you trying to unplug the plug from the back of their head, and they're getting hostile and telling you no. I don't want to get off Facebook. I don't want to get off Instagram.
I mean, that is it.
It's anger. It's hostility.
The
Right?
addiction is anger.
Right? Because it couldn't be, because why are you so angry over something that's not real? This is just, you could go outside and talk to people, but it's about not only the social media, but what does the social media has? What is it bringing you? It's bringing you much more joy, much more happiness, whether you're perceiving much more joy, much more happiness. You think that everyone loves you and care about you, and you think you're famous. And it's just all these different variables of things that you think you are because you're not that in real life. And so it's so easy to misplace real life into your Instagram. And then the likes and then the comments make it much more worse.
Oh, wow. I don't think people, okay, that's a great point, but I just don't, nah, people ain't delusional in real life. And I am starting, my circle is growing and I've relocated. I was in the East, and now I'm down South, and I don't want to act like everybody out East is the realest ever, but I'm telling you, like I'm dealing with, I hate fake people. I hate people that want to pretend. And down South, Midwest, I think people are a little bit more nasty nice. Like you hate somebody's guts, but you're gonna be cool. You're gonna be nice to them. It's like,
Be cordial.
nah, I don't like
Yeah,
that.
be cordial.
Yeah, like nah, like and I think that messed me up like mentally, because now I'm of the mentality of I might swing on you, right? And everybody isn't a threat at all. But that's my point. People want, you can't control that. People are fake. In processing that, I like to blame myself, and I can't be so hard on myself for being around fake people is what I'm learning. Like, that's really the nature way of people. Look at Jesus. Jesus would have offed himself if that were it, because he knew that Judas was gonna betray him. He knew everything, but he knew he had to move in that direction. So I try to assume the same moral calculus. Amen.
Yeah, my first question would be for you, Mr. Eldris, is what would trigger you to want to swing on someone?
You know, at this point,
Like
I
a process
think
of thought, the thought that comes into your head, because it's some type of response that you get that moves you
challenge.
into that, yes, that moves you into that direction. So
Yeah,
what
like
response do
refusal.
you
'Cause I've
think?
seen, and I've probably been in situations to where, and it's been great for me, right? Some people will not give you a chance, and that's okay. Like, you can use that to your advantage, whether it's someone underestimating you, discounting you, or dismissing you. And I try to turn that into like a superpower. So that is part of when I get that way, when I realize that often family are the people that you need to obliterate, because they will never be able to see you in that light or experience you in those ways. So giving them the mighty fist of humility is a life changer. Ain't
Okay.
it? But you get what I
Well,
mean. Like, that's the only thing that would really cause me to jump that threshold. As I get older, I am managing my anger differently, because I do see, I've lived mostly stress-free, anger-free, certainly violent-free, blah blah blah. But now it's really an awakening, and part of my maturity is knowing that that's something I have to outlet. I think going to the gym is great for people, because that does keep it just it's a vent. It's a great outlet. I wish I had artistic ability, but yeah, that's certainly how I handle that. What about yourself when you are confronted with frustration and you want to outlet violence?
Well, of course, my primitive side as a man, of course, it definitely would trigger a lot of violence. As I got older, I think just redirecting all of that energy into positive things that I could utilize it, whether it's working out, whether it's boxing, combative training, or just running, right? Or just using something as a catalyst to filter it out, right? Because I have to constantly remind myself that I am in control of this. My anger is not something that's for to overwhelm me or kill me or take over my life. And it's not for to disrupt anything, because it's kind of like one of the, of course, my father. I definitely thank my father for helping me, as I became a man, to control my anger and how to be able to trigger it and catalyze it to other avenues that can still be positive, because it's nothing wrong with anger, but it's all about how you're using that anger, right? If you're using your anger and it's elevating and it's going towards anything that's violent to the point it's going to harm other people, then that's, we have to say no to that, right? But if you're using your anger, and if you're a UFC fighter, right, and you're, tapping into
Exactly.
the primitive side of yourself and using it just to, that's healthy, right? And so anger is very different with men than women. But you definitely said something good when you said working out be a good catalyst. Also physical, something physical, especially for men, and little boys as well. It actually helps control that anger side, and it has actually helped developmental issues as well. Karate, martial arts, So it's definitely it's an initiative to take in, because you can't just talk you can't just talk to yourself and say my anger is under control. You know, it's a lot of variables you need, especially
I
for
think
men
that's the
who
key.
can be dangerous.
I think that's the key. You're so right. Like, it's very sim it's very different saying and doing, and only being allowed to say and not doing. It's the action. Like, yeah. So I totally see that. But with the physical body, and outletting anxiety, and all of these things. Is mindfulness a daily goal, practice, or unnecessary? Like, what does it look like for you on the daily, being mindful, and do you meditate?
Yes, I do meditate. Actually, I meditate. I do meditation. I do yoga. I definitely say it's everyday practice. I think just the basics of just self-control is we practice self-control every day, right? And just because, you know, we're not in a primitive environment, most of us are not, and so we don't have to rely on primitive behavior, to, you know, become better or to adapt to where we're living at. So I definitely think it's just an everyday practice. You know, someone cut you out, someone looks at you funny. And someone just, you know, just whatever you perceive to be negative or to, you know, be bad, you know, it's kind of practice restraint every day to not let it ruin your day, and not to let it, you know, influence, you know, what you feel and how your day is going. So I definitely think that's an everyday practice. Just discipline, you know, not to be violent, you know, as men every day. Even though we can do some of the most egregious things with our strength, just on a physiology level, I mean that's restraint that men exhibit
I think
every day.
that's a hard, I don't know. I think that's something that can fall back on you, because I don't think I ever would be one to lead with violence for the majority of this. But then,
But
I don't know.
well, I mean that's. I feel that you say that, but if you were a underdeveloped,
UFC?
yeah, if you yes, if you was an underdeveloped boy that didn't have his father, only had his mother, and you wasn't taught or you didn't learn any type of restraint, as a man, you would most likely lead with violence. This is one of the reasons why some of the most violent men in history come from certain households. Specifically, single mothers, serial killers typically come from single mothers. A lot of men that are incarcerated in jail, single mothers. Men that are typically violent typically consist of misplaced anger.
Such a good point.
Misplaced anger, because regarding the teachers of mothers thinking that they can teach a boy how to be a man, and no. There are certain variables in physiology and the development of a boy that it's a necessity for a father to be around to teach him how to control his anger. Because a boy that grows up to not be able to control his anger, he most likely would lead with anger and his strength, and he will be a harm to everyone. He'll be a harm because he will normalize his violence and his primitive nature, which is any self-respecting man keeps his primitive nature in check. Because we know it's very easy for us to go into that dark side. We may not like it, but it's easy to dive into that other side of ourselves. And so it's a poor, unfortunate thing. You know, it's one of the reasons why many of I don't know if you've been seeing it, but many housing properties, housing complexes, are basically not allowing single parents, specifically single mothers, to live in
Yeah,
the neighborhoods.
boys. Yeah.
They're actually banning that, and it's going to hurt the African American community more than anything, just because of the astronomy rate of children that are born to single mothers,
I want to
which.
segue into this one. I'm gonna pull the wheel, because it's good stuff we're talking about. But I don't know. I don't think it's controversial, but I grew up with a single mother. My father left when I was like around 8, and it seems as if that's a thing of the past, but I have been just getting hit with a lot of conversations, confronting the reality that single mothers still exist and they're never going to go anywhere. But it seemed like it was an epidemic. Like everyone was a single mother 30, 20 years ago. And then it seems like the last decade or 5 years, they've become the minority again. I haven't done the research to really pan out the numbers, but I say all this because your point. What has happened? Are we are locking more young men up now than ever, mathematically. Is this? I thought that went away. I thought that went away. That's what I
No.
want to unpack first.
Well, it's when you look at when you
All the
study
black men I know are
African.
fathers, but I know it can't be true that all black men are fathers. That just makes
No,
us feel good. We
well,
talk that ish to each
that's over 60% of black men that are single and childless. And
Exactly.
that's not a lot
I
of
know
black
the
men that
stats.
have kids. It's
Yeah,
not a lot,
most
and
black
that's
men with education don't have kids.
exactly.
Single,
And
yeah.
it's maybe less than maybe 20 to probably 50% of projections of black men that are married that have kids within those marriages. And then you have that small pool of about 10%, maybe 12% of black men that have most of the kids, while over 80% of black women.
So how are we in this situation? Because you just said it, the men. Wow.
Well,
Wow.
if you look at chronologically, historically of African American history, that led up to this point with just families, you have to go into the early 1900s, and there was a woman, a white woman, by the name of Anna Massu, and she was actually the person that spearheaded not only birth control, but the idea of feminism. And she went onto these talking points, went around doing lectures and public speakings about how women were just mistreated and how, they needed rights and they needed to, stand up to the man, right? Because all the rhetoric about men are oppressive. And then early on, she started pitching ideas about birth control, about how women should be able to go out and have sex with whoever. Courting is boring. Parents shouldn't be involved in their young children, 18 years old, they shouldn't be involved in who they have sex with. And so she was pitching all these ideas, and everyone's just looking at her like she's crazy. She's crazy. And then when you start speeding all that up from what the early 1900s, and now it starts going to from the 1930s into the 1940s and 50s, mind you, if you look at the marriage statistics for African Americans, it was actually over about 90% of black people were actually married. And if you look at how many kids black people were having during that time frame, black people were having roughly 6 to 8 kids. And this is typically by the same man black women were, and it was better, right? And then when you start going into the first wave of feminism, when you start talking about politics, 1940, that's when you really start seeing it spiral out of control, right? Because the invention of birth control and condoms, it changed the market. Companies, movies, they started showing more nudity in movies. The campaign was sex sells. This is where the market sex sells come from. They start realizing, oh, these kids want to have sex. Okay, let's increase the amount of Playboy magazines we put out there. So it increased masturbations among young men, especially African American men. And during this process, feminism started with white women, Caucasian women in America. It was a white woman's organization. It was a white woman's pitch. White women were not happy about how white men were treating them, and so they was talking
Just
about
like
oppression
Margaret
and all that.
Sanger from Ferdinand.
Yeah, Margaret Sanger. Yeah, Margaret Sanger III. She's actually related to the clinical head doctor that was actually in charge of taking homosexuality off the medical institution of diagnosis. It's a funny thing about that. But as white women start petitioning about these problems, they didn't get a lot of traction. Nobody was paying attention. They was like, they're crazy. And so what white women started doing to try to get their numbers up and to try to get more recognized, they start going to other communities of women, Hispanic women, Chinese women, African-American women, all the other women. And they start pitching this idea of men are oppressive. They wasn't saying white men were oppressive, men. And so if you twist that, that can make women, especially women of color, say, oh, my man is oppressive. But if you actually look into the word correlation with oppression, one has to exude power. And if you look at the African-American man, that the black man has never had power in this country. So he doesn't have the power to oppress you. He doesn't, because he's still fighting to be recognized as a human being, which is still in the Constitution. So how can he oppress you? And so what that did was it got black women on board with feminism during that time period, of course, Asian women. And then the only group of women that actually fought back against that were traditional white women. It was the only group. And you can actually pull up old interviews on during the 1950s. White traditional women were asked, what do you think about this new wave of feminism? And they was like, I don't like it. I think in the next 20 or 30 years, it's going to destroy families of all demographics, and we need to stop it right now before it causes damage. You have white women saying this. White women.
Yeah. And they didn't want black women to have access to the first wave of feminism.
No. Because it was all about white women. It was all about white
women. They didn't want gay women, and they certainly didn't want anything that was other.
The white traditional women, they didn't want no parts of that. But the thing that what makes feminism is so powerful and how it's destroyed black people is specifically is because feminism consists of many groups of people: women, homosexuals, people that wanted to marry same sex, all of those banters, and people that didn't believe in courting and traditional marriage. So when you have those entities combining, coming together to fight against not only traditional marriages, but fighting against parents. Because parents was protesting and saying, we want to be involved in our children's life. I don't want my 18 and 19 year old daughter trying to figure out who to date and have sex with on her own. I want to be able to control that, because it's better, percentage wise, it's better if your parents are involved. I mean, where I'm from, our parents still do that. Even arranged marriages have a higher percentage chance of being successful than the Western way of even dating. So what does that even tell you?
Have you ever talked to anybody in arranged marriage? They love it.
Yes, absolutely. my older sister is in arranged marriage. She's been in arranged marriage for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this has been culture.
It's business.
It's business. Yes, absolutely. Marriage is business. It has nothing to do with love or emotions and feelings and all of that other stuff.
You can foster them. And my kid deserves a husband to develop these hardcore emotions, and so much easier to elicit, a long-term relationship when you have that stability from the front end. Absolutely. I just wanted to kind of unpack that one. I had to get some of those pieces out.
Absolutely. and I mean, it's a misconception about marriage and how people stay with each other for so long. It's the starting point is, what are you getting married for?
Oh, men get married for respect. Women get married for love. Men get married because we lust, and I said women get married because they love, right?
Well, that's a part of the problem, right? Because
it's cycle.
Yes, because love is fickle. Well, the how the West perceive what love is, mm-hmm. is fickle. It's not manageable and it's not dependable and it's not healthy to place as a foundation for marriage because you're going to have a feeling of, I don't love him anymore as a woman.
Right. But that's
And
how you
when,
disappoint your kids when that's their
yeah.
emotional fulfillment. When they have a role and there's a discipline that's instilled at home, the relationships are different. And again, like I said, my daughter husband got three jobs. You feel me? Like it's just different.
Yeah. It's very different, especially when you have when you have active parents involved in the children's life. You're supposed to be in control of your children and whether people, you know, believe that or not. What my mother,
Emotional
what my
stability.
absolutely, especially for a little girl that's becoming 18 because the human brain is not even fully developed until your late 20s. So you thinking you're about to get on into the world at 18, 19, and you're about to be successful with relationships, marriages, money, all this? No. 'Cause that's a Western thing in the world. I mean, if you guys pay attention to immigrants, Chinese herbs, you'll notice when they come into America, a lot of them what have not only multiple business, but about 10 of them live in the same house.
That's right, because they know wealth.
Yes, they
Because
do.
it takes 10 incomes to pay that home
10
off.
of
And
them.
then them 10, and they each what? They're not having 10 kids or 6 kids.
Yep.
They might have 2 kids, right? So those 5 kids that come back and build it and reseed it, just like Jamaican families, we build a home for generations.
Absolutely.
Great grandfather built the foundation. My grandfather, he got the downstairs and the garage. My daddy, he got the upstairs. And we got a pool, you feel me? Like it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same way we did when, you know, my mother first came to America and started traveling and all that. It was about 12 of us in the same house.
Yeah,
And
blessed.
all of us was working. So we had
Every
probably
able body in this house must work.
every able body. It didn't matter if you were 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, you working. You ain't leaving in America, guess what? You about to cut grass. You about to go door to door and cut people grasses, and you about to make your $15, $20, and you about to learn about stacking money up. And then we're going to send it back home to rebuild our village and rebuild our community back home. That's what everybody does because it's all about the nation of where you come from.
Man, that's how you make America great again.
It's all about the nation you come from. And families build nations, not
Yeah,
individuals.
that's what everybody here for. 40 acres and a mule. Everybody came here.
You
It is
can't,
what it is.
yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, one of the teachings of Western is individualism, and it's constantly what I hear in my practice too from pages. And this sense of individualism, you know, I'm an individual, I'm independent. No, you want to be dependent if you want to be successful, dependent. If you want to make money, if you want to be wealthy, you want to be rich, dependent. You can't get through life on your own.
Oh man,
You can't.
that's a whole mind shift though, 'cause people, man.
That's a, and you see what and that caters to poor. You know, people always
Yeah.
wonder, how can I be rich? How can I be wealthy? Well, you haven't learned some of the most fundamental things: depending on each other, trusting each other, building each other up. And it's easy to say that, but it's harder for people to do it.
That's my weakness. I say it real quick. That is
Yeah,
my
but it's
weakness.
harder for you to do it because it involves you to have to go through those steps to do it. You have to put yourself and look at your people and talk to them, and regardless on how you feel about them, regardless of how they may treat you like dirt. They may say some of the most awful things to you, right? Because they're fragmented, but you're still going to go out and you're still going to build them up, right? And you're still going to get active into your communities. That's how you build them. That's how you become. I mean, Dr. Claude Anderson, right? He's probably one of the most phenomenal economists. He's talked about this, especially for African Americans, telling African Americans, if you guys don't get your stuff together in the next couple of years, Chinese people in America is going to pass you up. And if you
Oh, too
travel to
late.
all this, if you traveled to multiple states in America, guess what? Chinese are building up Chinatowns everywhere. It's not just an East Coast thing. It's on the East Coast, it's on the West, it's up north, it's down south. And guess what? They're building their own communities, meaning that this community of where you want to live at, guess what? It's owned by Chinese people.
Please do it like Dr. Umar. Please. It's
owned by Chinese people. And
but how it's could, a Koreatown everywhere. It's not a
that,
little
that,
A.
That
it's
too. Not a that too. And you know, the funny thing is that when you're going back into history, when it was really predominantly just white people and African Americans were second class citizens. You had a chance to pass white people. You had a chance, whether you believe that or not. Because if you look into your history of African Americans and look at all the phenomenal things that black people did and created, you would be like, why? If you look in 2023 now, and if I look at
how
creations of African Americans,
I know how, not why.
No,
how?
No black person is creating anything. You know why? That has a lot to do with how black people are reproducing.
Oh man, you're speaking the truth too. It's how
babies. How you're reproducing? Because who reproduced Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey? Who reproduced Martin Luther King? Who reproduced all these people that every person wants to quote?
Wow. Well, okay, let's talk about that.
Doctors, black doctors, right?
Yeah.
People want to know, how did you become a doctor? Well, typically, children want to become doctors when they come from a line of doctors. Exactly. Yeah. My father was a doctor. He was a neurosurgeon. And he inspired me to want to be that. And so it's a lineage thing. My mother, holistic herbalist, a nurse in a master culinary arts chef. Travel the world.
I'm a comedian, right? Like, I don't want to like start making fun of people, but it's a reason that the third generation or the fourth generation, it doesn't lead to another one. They either don't like the same sex or the same race. That was the classiest I can make that joke. I mean it because that's what happens. And going back to the point that we made before, we are so bougie that we have the economy of choice, where we are literally killing our spiritual roots. We're killing who we are.
Every day.
To, you know? So, I acknowledge that. I can see these things.
I did a lecture. I was in Alabama, Mobile. I think that's how you say it, Mobile. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mobile. I always say that funny, Mobile.
Montgomery.
Yeah. shout out to my brothers and sisters out there in Alabama. Amazing people. And I was doing this lecture on something basic, right? Going back to your roots and taking pride into your image. And one of the things I was talking about was black women and wearing weave. And it was a touchy topic for them, right? And I asked some of the most, I always start off with asking a question, right? Because you can get to know someone just by asking questions. You don't have to constantly talk to them and over talk, just ask them questions. And I said, I asked, is black hair beautiful? And everybody in the crowd, black one, got up, yeah. Is black hair beautiful? Yes. And I said, okay, why don't you as black women wear your natural hair then if it's so beautiful? And I took it another further and I said, well, when you are confident in something that is beautiful, you're so eager to show people. You're eager to get up and go outside and show people, like, look at my hair. You ain't gonna say it verbally, but your behavior, your confidence is gonna be instilled in your aura, in your walk, in your talk, how you look. People are gonna look at you one time and say, that black woman take pride in how she look.
Yeah.
And so when I asked that question, black women were quiet. And see, right then and there, it showed a lot. It showed a lot.
But we don't give them a platform to show their natural hair because I don't think that all men or women have to like natural hair.
Well,
it's kind of a catch-22 because we force them, right? Because not just the aesthetics, not just the fact that maybe some women look better with whatever hair, But we force them to lean into this as if they have an identity issue. And I think that that is somewhat unfair to women, specifically Black women.
Well, when you talk about there's not an issue, you have to think African Americans have not been afforded any type of rehabilitation for what they've been through. So right. underneath examination of African American behavior, you have to constitute that the behavior that Black people show is relatively unhealthy and it's unnatural. And you're not just doing it out of just free coalition. You're not just waking up and just saying, hey, I'm doing this because I'm doing it. Because we all know there is a purpose. And if you pay attention to Black people's behavior, it comes from a dark, sinister thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at Black women, it's just in America specifically, who has she looked up to as a woman? Besides white women.
When just that's like you talk about feminism and those waves of feminism,
it's a correlation because when you're growing up, of course you're second class, but the only woman Black woman historically has ever looked at is white women.
Yeah.
If you look at the color of dyeing hair, why is the one extravagant color that our sisters like to dye hair? Johnson
here shortly. I definitely want to talk about those things. We will unpack those. Please, let's unpack those before we. I'm gonna play some comments from Mr. Johnson.
Here we go. You know what? It's all right, brother, and that's a thing that I always speak about all the time, right? How our Black women, I don't want to say Black, our 9-ether women,
yeah,
right? They need to rock out those 9-ether curls that they demonized, they made evil in the Bible, right, and called it nappy. Mm-hmm. Not be here and right and degrading our dark skin, right? This is what makes our women hate their natural self. The beauty and essence of their 9-ether melatonin skin. Their beautiful essence of their hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
They demonize that, so they hate it now. So now our women want to bleach their skin, straighten their hair permit. Right? Permanent. Want to make it straight permanently, but it never stays straight permanently, right? It continues to go back to its original state, right? And it's this repetitive cycle of ignorance.
Oh, man. I'm going to play the second comment. Beautiful.
And a lot of it has to do with the social programming, right? Whether people think it's racist or not. It is what it is. Right, you have stars like Marilyn Monroe that came out in the early half. Mm-hmm. Right, she was the depiction of beauty to all women.
Absolutely.
Right, that's what
beauty standard.
Men seen as beauty, right? Way how they program society. So our women now feel they have to subjugate themselves to those standards, right? And they see it more so because a lot of our so-called 9-ether men, right, cling and choose people with what the system, society portrays as beauty, right? Straight hair, right? Light skin or white or, right? Anything other than what they demonize us through religion and whatnot. And I'm not being racist at all, right? But if we truly want to be equal as a people and equal as a whole on this planet amongst all different races, how are we going to be equal if us as 9-ether beings, right, so-called Black people, can't even love ourselves or love our woman? No, our woman could love the men, right, because we're subconsciously programmed, right, to see otherwise. Right, so if we can't be equal and in love with our natural state, ourselves as 9-ether beings, how are we gonna love any other race or say it's true love or true unity? Right, so until we get that part straight, that's when the world will be on a better whole. The whole thing is that everyone has self hate for each other, basically.
Yeah,
my pussy stank, but. You gentlemen are touching on a variety of amazing topics that really need to be discussed further and could be subtopics in so many other future discussions. So kudos to you. I just wanted to comment on the hair. And there were a lot of absolute statements that were made. And I just need you all to understand, being a woman of color, and you can see my information is public. My hair is to the middle of my back, but I still wear unnatural hair for the purpose of convenience. So it's not always about identity or not being or being ashamed of having your natural curls. So just make sure when these discussions are being had, there's a representation of a woman who can speak on these other subtopics, such as hair.
All right. I appreciate the perspectives. Thank you so much.
I wanted to piggyback off what Mr. Johnson has said. Something that I want our people to stop doing is thinking that when you say something that includes other groups of people, other races of people, you have to say, I'm not being racist. I think that word is poorly misused, and a lot of us don't understand what being racist is. If you go back into the 70s, when you talk about the confines of racism and being racist, the original impediment definition of that word is two or more groups of people that have power, that control things to the point that they can manipulate certain things and make you disadvantaged. That's one of the oldest correlations of racism and being racist. When you look at black people don't own anything to make other groups of people disadvantaged. I mean, unless I'm wrong about that. Black people control a certain amount of land, power, corporations, to the point that black people can make people and other groups of people disadvantaged. But I'm talking about economically wise, infrastructure wise, sure. Black people don't disadvantage white people. Yeah, you can't disadvantage, you can't be racist, right? Which is why if a white person came to you, you can't
have institutions designed against or created to disenfranchise
people. Exactly.
Black
people don't have any institutions created because you don't control anything on a global scale, even just in a country wise.
That now, feels disempowering people, though, right? I'm with you. I'm with you, bro.
White people can be racist. Why? Because they control certain markets, they control avenues, Chinese, all the groups of people that are coming in, being able to control so many things, and you can manipulate it and disadvantage. Oh, he's black, we don't want to hire him. Now you can't prove it, which is why having a racist case or a case built on racism is hard to prove, especially when it's just one individual, because courts will throw it out. It has to be
a group. I have a segue for this. Just thinking about this, and I think you could vibe with it, man. So Carthage, we don't talk about black success. We don't talk about the tilt of mercantilism. What if the world were different? I'm going to play Mr. Johnson's comment, and maybe we'll pick up on this.
Okay.
I get what you're saying at the racism thing. I know better. I should have said I'm not being prejudiced. I know better. Racism has to deal with people and power and controlling the people systematically. Mm-hmm. So correction. Right, but I also thought about it too. There's a group of people in control called the Black Nobility, which has to do with some of the Moors, right? I have control over the financial system. Right, the Swiss bank, right?
Yeah.
The Moors and people that look like black people but are not black people. The shit goes deep, right? Mm-hmm. So I understand where, because I hear multiple arguments, right, in regards to racism. And
brother, if you don't keep
that, I get it, right? Some people say black people can be racist, and there's a reason why they're saying that, because there's people that look black, right? Or there's traitors that are in power that are actually one of the two parties.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Like,
yeah. Talking about the double, the double riders. There's
but he said the more what if the Moors they said they took over the world, not just the Iberian Peninsula, but what if they maintained their grip on the world and they didn't have to hide out in weird sex clubs as financial managers of ubiquitous race?
Oh man, that's a whole different program.
but you get what I mean, though. That's kind of where I wanted to swing it. Is what if we had that as the reference, and instead of referencing these people in obscurity, we were able to talk about these people in majority. We were talking about the implications of racism and prejudice. Do you think that these same racist connotation institutions would exist with this slant of world perspective? It's kind of what I was.
Yeah, absolutely. Because as much damage that has been inflicted on us just on a global scale from all of our people scattered on the four corners on the planet, I think we do a disservice just to our history, and we fantasize over being victims so much that we don't talk about some of the bad things we was doing historically. Especially on the continent of Africa and West Africa, and in the kings that we had.
Are you talking about the Barracoons?
No, not the Barracoons. We're talking about Burkina Faso, for instance. One of the great empires that was staged in Burkina Faso was called Amagasa, and it was actually one of the empires that was responsible for kicking off slavery. To the royal family.
Yeah.
And so, so, you know, people kind of think that, you know, slavery was just this whole thing of just a whole bunch of white people just coming into different territories, grabbing up people. But we don't talk about the tyrannical kings that we had that actually was crazy on power, that was actually enslaving not only their own people and putting them in cages, but free willingly was given up their own citizens to these groups of people. It's one of the many reasons why, when you look at North Africa, the slave trade is still open up to the Arabs as well, due to one of the agreements that was done with one of the greatest empires out of West Africa. So it's we don't like to take basis on some of those errors that we did as well, because we had kings that was tyrannical and crazy on power. That didn't care about their own people as well. So
I had to bring Mr. Johnson up because I might allude to Barracoons and segueing off of this one. But absolutely, those are very valid points, and I think they should be brought to the forefront. Mr. Johnson, sir, thank you for joining us.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Johnson.
How you doing?
Man, bless. Just, you know, we talking about it now. I think that he made some really good points, and we don't acknowledge this in history, but we were sold by our own nobility, and we were housed and stored Barracoons, that, you know, not to mention the battle. Lost.
Mr. Eldridge, you're cracking up a little bit. Your voice is going in and out, brother.
Is that me?
Yeah,
it's cracking up a little bit.
Sorry. It's a storm. Just in there, it's a lot of greatness.
Probably give him enough time to reconnect.
Yeah, probably some trouble with the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it says storming. Yeah, it's been a lot of crazy storms all over.
Fellas, can you hear me better now?
There you go.
All right. Yeah. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Every other culture has rebounded or redeemed themselves from an incredible tragedy. Why do we struggle historically from this 400, 600 year departure, when we betrayed our brothers, when we sold our families into chattel slavery? That's really my question.
Yeah. Well, I when you say we, would you mean just you say to say what black people on a global scale, or you're just talking specifically?
Well, we're diasporic people, right? So we got, some of us got off of these boats, but some of us never took the trip, right?
Well, yes, you could say some people, right? Some people never took the trip, but you could also say that the same thing that is happening to African Americans is happening globally to black people in all other areas. You're talking about the islands, right? The Chinese is heavy in the market, especially in Jamaica as well. If you look at South Africa, right? Chinese, Indians, and Caucasians and Europeans as well is dominating that market to the point that they did a spinneroo on the natives in South Africa, which to the point where white South Africans are now saying that they're native to that place, and that the original native South Africans are not native there and don't belong there. So now it's harder for South Africans to even get a loan, to even try to build anything, which is part of the reason why you see a lot of them going into other countries as well, specifically trying to go into Europe and all these other places, because they're told it's a promised land, it's a guarantee to a better life. And so many of the things that African Americans are going through in America, best believe other groups of people are going through that same thing, even not much more harsher, because colonization in the continent of Africa is much more aggressive than what you see here in America. It's much more aggressive because so many people all over are trying to get their fair share of everything. China has relatively told their groups of people to go to Africa, to marry into Africa, go into these different places and have babies, because in order for you to be able to own land or own anything, you have to get married into the family first. And this is why we're seeing so many Chinese African babies increase so much. And they're trying to take this same approach in the islands as well, because Johnson says something relatively correlated about the bleaching.
Magnitude 4.1.
It's one of the reasons why the bleaching, the skin bleaching, is increasing among our people on a global scale as well. Because not just colonization, they do this thing with colorism and self-hatred. They come in, they set up market, and they institute these white dolls with the Caucasian hair. And they set the whole standard. They reverse the psychology of the beauty standard in a lot of melanated places, where they tell you that white is beautiful. White is beautiful. White is success. And if you want to be good at anything, you have to be white. And psychologically, that tells black people, well, you have to look white. You have to look the part, because if you're not white, if your skin is not brighter, you're not attractive. You're no good to society. And so now we have a skin bleaching problem that's happening not only in the islands, but in many countries in Africa. It's happening to black people in Ireland, New Zealand.
Yep.
And so I've traveled and lived in many different countries. And
we got to unpack that just a little bit.
Yeah, where black people are suffering, and especially dark-skinned black people.
There we go. That's the point I want.
Yeah, dark-skinned black people suffer the most out of any group of people, regardless of who they belong to. We're talking about Afro-Latino, Afro-Mexican, whatever. If you're dark-skinned, you are the bottom of the bodice, because you are regarded as the ugliest being on the planet. And it's a reason for that.
Yep. Don't mean to cut you, brother. A perfect example for that. You know how the Ukrainians, the people in Ukraine, they're basically being shipped out to other, I think, Canada. Is one place where they're all basically getting flights to come to Canada,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep. In the U.S.
There's Africans in Ukraine too, right? Yep. I seen a video online, and they're basically bashing out on the African, dissing them, calling them ugly, and you're going to have to leave last, and we're first priority, and
yes.
They're basically mm-hmm. kicking them out the airport and shit, basically saying, yeah, you can't leave, but yet they're first priority, and they're coming mm-hmm. to Canada and different places, and they're getting They're getting money from the government, right? They're getting basically
Yep.
luxury while our people still have to suffer, and Ukraine's going through a whole bunch of crazy shit, right?
Yep.
But they don't care about
They're
dark-skinned
jumping
people.
in
It's
front
like,
of bus stations,
right?
train
No,
stations,
not at all. No.
African
And I know
immigrants are
exactly
being
what you're talking about, Mr. Johnson. You're talking about the incident with, I think he was Nigerian. I don't specifically know, but I know he's from the continent of Africa, and he was basically saying that the native Ukrainians, white Ukrainians, was basically telling him that you don't belong here anyway. First
Yes.
come to you native Ukrainians, white Ukrainians, and they didn't know that he knew the language, and they was calling him the N-word and calling him the you like a monkey and you're ugly, in their native
Yeah.
tongue. And he was just like, really? Like, you're really going to say that? And they didn't know he knew the
Yeah.
language. And so even when you talk about COVID-19, right? What was the first thing? What was the first stereotype? Black people spread COVID-19 much more faster and quicker. So people of dark skin that was in Tokyo, that was in China, that was in all these Asiatic countries, guess what was happening? Chinese people was grouping up, dragging them on the ground, dragging them out of their hotels, telling them that you do not belong here. You're spreading this virus. We're going to kill you. Acting acts of violence. Why do you think that was so appropriate for that to be spread on people that of darker skin? It was a clear reminder of your position on this planet. It was a clear reminder on a global scale.
Absolutely.
Now
Absolutely.
that's racism. That's racism.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. And it's a fact everywhere, every culture. It is the same. I would love to come back together again. You guys know I'm on YouTube, the Modern Black Man podcast. This is season 8. If you're on Apple Podcasts and you ever listen, but brothers, I appreciate you taking the time. And like I said, I really mean that. Please get with me on social media. I'm at Chubby Idris Elba on every platform imaginable. I love doing this. Hopefully we can record again. Does that sound like something you guys are open to?
Oh yeah,
Yeah, I'm cool with
absolutely.
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I would love to get in connection. I just wanted to say those things, if we break, but it's been an absolute pleasure, and I just, I like unpacking these things and really being able to examine them. And your brother's perspective keeps me sharp because I think we are able to see the world with all of these facts, and just being able to exchange the information makes me a better man, and I hope that it helps you as well.
Of course, no doubt.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Got to exchange information and knowledge because we're from different parts of the world, but we all still go through the same thing, regardless of our differences and how different our culture is.
Exactly. And I mean, that's the whole experiment here. Like I said, I'm on Facebook. We just started YouTube. Got to debut on June 1st. This experience is a blessing. And I think that we all carry some of the same experiences in all of the different places that we've been, and we're all doing great things. So I want to, touch back and share this evolution. It's a reality-based thing that I do. So that's enough about me. Do y'all have any social media handles or anything that you want to share with anybody that might be following or anybody that might pick this up on one of my channels?
No, you can, Mr. Johnson.
Think I have an IG. Can't remember the. Let me check it out. Just a second. Let me see here. Rarely use it, but it's still active.
Here we go. My IG is Tamars_car_detdetTAMARS_CAR_DETAILING.== CAR_DETAILING.
Follow that boy. I appreciate you, Mr. Johnson. Appreciate your wisdom. Dr. Nui, do you have some social medias where people can follow you? Y'all already know this is a legitimate herbalist, somebody that has a great perspective, but most importantly, those credentials and information that can heal and save your life. Where can they get a hold of you?==└================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================
Yes, I actually have a app that's actually underneath construction. I'm putting out a registration for approximately 50 people. It's basically going to be an entirety for Black health, Black re-education, and it's actually regarded into Dr. Nui Carbon and Everything. It's only on iPhone right now. I will be having it come to Android in, I want to say, September the 5th of this year. And so you guys can kind of get reached to me on that, or you can inbox me on that. I actually have webinars that I host as well. So if you could just reach out, just inbox me, exchange emails, and just invite you to the webinar, and we go over just different things just regarding just Black people on a just global scales, and just how we can just kind of fix a lot of these problems with ourselves. So yeah.
Gotta get that app. Like he said, he can save your life. This is critical information. We're gonna exchange all that information so we can get back in contact and get everyone more content. But until the next episode, y'all already know it. I want to thank my panel. I want to thank everybody that took the time today. And until the next episode, peace.
Peace.
Peace.